Welcome back to The Money Hour with your host and mortgage expert, Tina Mitchell, right here on 1150 AM KKNW, the Saturday, May 30th show. Each week, I share expert advice and inside knowledge on how today's events and our local economy can affect your money. If you're listening to my show at a different time or day, you are listening to a rebroadcast to talk with myself or the guests that I have in studio. You can call the show at 1-855-411-50. Again, it's 1-855-411-50 or online at themoneyhour.com. In studio right now, sitting across from me, Joe Ride with Sage Advisors LLC, Financial Success During Retirement Years. And I'm really excited, Joe. This is the first time that I've had you in studio. Thank you for coming in and visiting me.
Absolutely. Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
And a little bit about Joe. Joe is a financial advisor with Sage Advisors LLC in Seattle who works primarily with sales professionals and their families, as well as small business owners. Joe is also the director of corporate retirement benefits at Sage, helping business design and oversee 401k and pension plans. Sage is an independent firm that provides financial planning and investment management services. Joel holds his securities and investment advisory license through KMS Financial Services Incorporated. Joe is a member of the Oregon Trail Generation, meaning he's old enough to remember a world that was slowed down and free of today's many distractions. But he also is young enough to have experienced every revolution modern intention since 1983, from its origin without taking it for granted. That's the way he approaches teaching people about money, by being simple and focused while keeping an eye towards what will inevitably change for them in the future. That's great, Joe. Again, excited to have you here. And I think planning for retirement, like anything that we do with our finances, we talked with our home inspectors, anything that we do with our home, it's all about planning and planning ahead, not procrastinating. And I think especially when it comes to planning for your financial future. So why is it difficult for us to visualize the financial aspects of planning multiple years of income?
Well, one of the things I'm always intrigued about is why we have a tendency to ignore the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I describe retirement as we work our entire working life for a paycheck. And then all of a sudden, when we stop working, the paychecks stop.
Yeah.
And those paychecks are now our responsibility. So what we have is 20, 30 or more years of paychecks that we have to take care of for ourselves. Not only that, but the paychecks have to have cost of living increases along the way. And that's where our minds really start getting confused, because one of our human conditions is we do not compute exponential increase naturally. It's incredibly difficult for us. So my theory is that people put off that type of calculation, that type of work, the things we don't understand until a later time because it's so complex. And we always put off the thing that's complex to do. So,
you know, I had somebody tell me once that if you were working for an employer, would you continue working there if they were going to never give you an increase in your salary? So you got to be thinking about that in your retirement. So you think the landscape for retirement planning has changed for most of us, and this change is under our radar. So how is retirement different than it used to be, Joe?
Yeah, I think it's under our radar because we all seem to understand that people live longer now. That we need to save for retirement, and that we need our investments to do well for us between now and when we retire. But the price of failing in those areas is much higher than it was 20 years ago. 20 years ago, about half of all workers had access to some sort of defined benefit pension plan, and that's a promise by your employer to continue paying you an income after you quit working. And the other folks were saving on their own. Now, less than a third of people actually have access to that pension.
Yeah.
That means that the majority of us, over two-thirds, were forced to save for our future retirement paychecks on our own. Of course, Social Security will be there in some form, but what's happened is the past 20 years, we did not necessarily alter our savings habits to make up for that mix or that change that occurred. So we're seeing that people have fallen way behind planning for retirement.
And I think if not only do we not alter it, but I think we went a little backwards, or I guess you'd say forward, in spending more money than our parents did.
Right. And the price for living longer, of course, is more health expenses along the way.
Everything's panning out that we need to do better in our early years. So, Joe, a major blind spot you see is that our targets are out of whack. What do you mean by that?
Okay. So I found this really interesting when I read it. So Transamerica recently did a survey, and they asked people, of the amount you're trying to accumulate in savings so that you can retire, what is that number? And every single age group said the same number. People in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s all said $1 million.
Really?
Okay, so that's a red flag. Big
time.
Yeah,
big time.
Their most common fear in retirement is outliving their money. Yep. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Their top priority today is also to get out of debt. So everyone in their 60s, they're trying to get out of debt all the way down to your 20s. So as far as the $1 million target, I worry about the people in their 20s.
Yes.
And the getting out of debt, I worry about the people in their 60s.
Yeah.
So I think we need to have a paradigm shift. Something out there needs to start telling people that we need to start zeroing in on the right targets for retirement.
Makes total sense. So people are definitely not saving enough for retirement, as we've been talking about. And you say that they do not take enough time for the risk so that their money will grow appropriately. How bad is this problem, Joe?
Yeah, so a nice example I give is Millennials, I'm one of
yes.
them, have now lived through two of the biggest...
You are pretty young, Joe.
How did I get in here?
You just said that we're all really old here.
No.
Go ahead.
That's not what I meant. Okay. So millennials have now lived through two of the biggest boom then bust mm-hmm. periods in our history. So now we see millennials, about a quarter of them are enrolled in low risk, low return investment mixes in their retirement plans, for instance. And then the average balance saved up by 50 to 60-year-olds is about $172,000.
Mm-hmm.
So even if their target is $1 million, they've saved less than a fifth of it on average.
Wow.
And because we don't think of that exponentially increase thing very well, we mm-hmm. tend to ignore that for what compound interest can do for us as well.
Yeah.
So if we're not taking enough risk or we're not saving enough, we're not giving ourselves the opportunity to see what magnitude of additional dollars we can
yes.
get by fixing our habits today as well.
You got to make some adjustments
yes.
somewhere.
Right.
So what about working part-time or finding another career path during your retirement years? Is that a need for people to retire at their desired age?
Absolutely. I mean, nothing helps you find those paychecks better than an actual paycheck.
Uh-huh.
60% of 50-somethings plan on working in retirement. 82% of 60-somethings plan on working in retirement.
Yeah.
Okay, so people are anticipating that this is a need. But one thing I question when I see that is that's a lot of people planning on working into their retirement years. There's a good chance that not every single one of them can actually find work.
Yeah.
And then two major distractions will happen. Caring for aging parents gets in the way of people working at that time. So
yes.
that comes into play, and that's something you can't necessarily plan for unless you're doing it today. Second is a lot of people claim their Social Security benefit early, and they take a little bit of a tax hit if they do that early because mm-hmm. those earnings are now subject to tax if they're working.
Ah, makes sense.
So they're not getting as much bang for their buck at that point.
Yeah, and you know, so I love doing this show, and it's an honor to sit across from industry experts in everything regarding money because it's so important. And you talk about the unexpected with your parents, and we bring experts in studio to talk about preparing for that. It's all about preparation, and it's the little tiny steps that we make now that will have a compound effect for us when we get in our retirement years.
Absolutely.
So it seems like people need to do more of their own research and probably hire a financial professional to help with retirement planning. But how are they failing to do both of these?
So that basically says that people are avoiding working with financial professionals or getting some other form of help. That's very understandable. People uh-huh. avoid all sales people in general. But here's a couple of stats. So 87% of workers in their 30s prefer to do their own research.
Okay.
But 68% of them admit that they don't know as much about investing as they should. So while people are very independent minded, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing the right things.
Yep.
That's also a concern. It just compounds the future problem down the road. And then only 15% of 60-somethings, people in their 60s, have an actual written retirement plan. So people
That's so surprising because I just thought that they were just doing a better job than we were.
Right, right. And that's just a concern because people have not calibrated the right targets,
yeah,
even at that advanced age right before they're going to retire.
Yep. So, Joe, when it comes to investing in retirement, you believe people generally understand the best practices, but they largely fail to execute in three key areas. Can you talk to my listeners about those?
Okay. So we already talked about one of them, and that is getting a reliable target dollar amount. ING came out with their commercials a long time ago, the big orange number above your head. That's a great thing for people to do. What's your number? Finding that target is good, but it does require computing the actual cost of that retirement stream of income that you're going to need, that increasing stream of income, and weighing other income sources before you can actually solve for what that number is reliably.
Okay.
Second is now you've got to find the right savings amount to actually reach that dollar amount.
Yep.
That's very key. And I encourage people to aim for doing a percentage of their income and not trying to solve for a dollar amount they save on a monthly basis. It
okay.
just makes it easier to increase the amount you're saving over time. And then finally, there's a big push, and it's a good thing for people to find low-cost investments and to diversify. But they need to go one step further, and this is where they're missing the boat, is they have to find the right asset allocation to go along with those two. Diversification only means that you're investing in a broad mix of different kinds of investments.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talk about asset allocation in its simplest form, it just means stock and bond mixture.
Makes
so
sense.
If you are investing in the majority of stocks, you're being very aggressive, you're going to get subject to a lot of volatility.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have time, that's going to beat the more conservative investments. So you'd be very surprised what the future value would be on an 80-20 mixture versus a 60-40 mixture.
Got it. So you think that your employer plays a huge role in turning around the retirement savings shortage. What can they do to be helping?
Well, first of all, most of our money is tied up with the employer-based plans. There's about
mm-hmm.
$6.8 trillion in 401k plans right now. Only about two-thirds of the employees who actually are eligible to participate in those things actually sign up. That means about a third are delaying the actual savings part of retirement. So I encourage employers to think about auto-enrolling their employees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the big misnomer is that you're taking the choice away from your employees, but there's an opt-out clause. It's
sure.
very simple. All you have to do is check here, and you don't sign up for the plan right
yep.
away. So auto-enrollment, it's amazing how that helps. The next is auto-escalating your savings rate. If you can't bite the bullet and do exactly the right amount of savings that you've solved for, start with a lower number, but automatically increase it by 1% or 2% each year until you get to that target.
Makes sense.
And then finally, auto-allocating the investments. I really hate seeing a 401k investment lineup that is just this big, long list of individual funds without any guidance on how to use those funds.
Yep.
The average person really can't look at that and understand how to get the right asset allocation and be properly diversified.
Yeah.
So those are the things that I think employers can really help out with.
Perfect. Got to take us to a commercial, Joe, but I want to thank you so much for coming in. And a call to action for you, if you're listening to the show right now and you do not have a certified financial planner, you need to have one. Prepare for your retirement so you can enjoy your golden years, not be devastated during them. I've got an expert right here in studio. Call into the show, 1-855-411-50. Again, it's 1-855-411-50. If you didn't hear any of the show, go back to the website, The Money Hour, and you can listen to the podcast. Joe, thank you so much for being here and excited to have you back in.
Thank you, Tina.
And coming up next in the Money Hour, learn how to buy 10 to 20 HUD homes per month at a 50 to 40% discount and even 30% of the list price without ever leaving your office. Larry Goins, founder of the Goins Group and active real estate investor, author, and coach, right here on 1150 AM KKNW after the short break.